You are listening to a Blazing Caribou Studios production.
Bonus. Something extra that is good. B-O-N-U-S. Bonus.
What's up, everyone? Welcome into another bonus episode of Two Peas. I'm very excited about this one. We're actually three peas this morning, and it is very early in the morning over on the West Coast. And I have two ladies that have agreed to join me for this one. Now, let me tell everyone real quick, because we're still in October, and everybody knows I'm addicted to horror and Halloween and the whole thing, right? So I had to sneak in one more. Today's, what is it, ladies? It's like October 26th, right? So,
26th.
Yeah, so we're sneaking this in under the wire. It's probably going to go up in a couple days before Halloween. But I'm very excited. We're going to count down our top five modern horror films. And the way we define that is any horror movie that was released in 2010 or later through today. So let's say what's up to our guest. They are a duo. They have their own podcast. I've been listening to it for the last month or so. They're great. I love them. They're out there in California, like I said. They have a podcast called Kim and Ket Stay Alive. Maybe.
Maybe.
The maybe is very important. But let's say hello to Kim and Ket, the namesakes of that show. How are you ladies doing?
Hello.
Hey there. We're good.
Dude, I'm so excited you guys are here for this. Why don't you tell everybody real quick so I don't steal your thunder, whoever wants to jump in, just explain real quick in like a tagline of what your show's about.
I'm Ket. So it is a show where Kim or I watches a horror movie that the other one hasn't seen. And throughout the episode, we interject with our, you know, ridiculous personal lives, things like that. But we also give the other person an opportunity to say what they think the character would do. And in addition, what we would do in order to stay alive in the movie.
Yes. So, and Ket is really bad at it. She dies constantly and Kim always lives.
Honestly. It was not that much better, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, you guys are a lot of fun. I've been enjoying it. I'm trying not to listen to the ones if there's movies that you guys cover that I haven't seen, just for spoiler reasons. But I have listened to quite a few episodes, and I'm digging it. You guys do a good thing over there. So any horror fans, all their information is going to be in the show notes. Make sure you check them out. Kim and Ket Stay Alive, maybe. And it's a lot of fun over there. A very fun horror podcast. So I got them to come along here, right? Because we're going to do our top five modern horror films, which, like I said, is anything that came out since 2010, or at least that's the way we're going to define it. What did you guys think when you were making your list? I mean, was this like easy or difficult, or I mean, what challenges did you run into?
So I at first was like, oh my God, what movies have come out? And then when I started sort of looking, I was like, there's been too many movies.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. I had the same experience. Once I actually started looking, I was like, oh no.
I have a top 30, I guess. and then I was like, you know, I wonder if Kim and I are going to have similar lists. But then I realized as we were sort of thinking about it, I was like, there was definitely ones that I feel like Kim has responded to a little bit more than me. So I'm curious to see how much our lists, you know, if it overlaps at all. I'm not sure.
That makes sense. And we actually didn't touch on that because we were talking about it last night, Ket. But you guys each did individual lists, right? So you're not.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Well, this will be a lot of fun. So. Excuse me. We're going to go around the horn and we'll start with Kim. What do you think, Kim? Are you okay? You're up at, it's like 6 a.m. over there. You guys are unbelievable. You guys
it's
are unbelievable.
It's very early to be drinking my whiskey at 6 a.m.
You guys are unbelievable. So we're going to start. We'll go around the horn here. We'll go 5-1. Kim, I'm going to let you start us off. What's your number five modern horror?
Okay. Number five, I put as The Purge.
This is not a test. This is your emergency broadcast system announcing the commencement of the annual purge sanctioned by the U.S. government. Weapons of Class 4 and lower have been authorized for use during the purge. All other weapons are restricted. Government officials of ranking 10 have been granted immunity from the purge and shall not be harmed. Commencing at the siren, any and all crime, including murder, will be legal for 12 continuous hours. Police, fire, and emergency medical services will be unavailable until tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. when the purge concludes. Blessed be our new founding fathers and America, a nation reborn. May God be with you all.
The OG purge, which in my brain actually came out like much longer than 2010 ago, but I think it's just because they've made 75,000 more of them like since then. It was like 2013 it came out.
I haven't seen any since the first couple. It's fun. It's funny too. In today's America, it's a little scary, right? I feel like that's right around the corner of being reality. The purge,
right?
I don't know.
Ketron is doing the purge election year, like right after election day.
I got it.
I've only seen the first one, but that one to me was like, yeah, it's crazy how terrifying it is now.
You're living in a horror movie, I guess. So the purge is your number five. What do you think of that, Kat? You like that pick?
I did. That was a good one. I actually picked another one that we did for our very, very first episode. And it was not one that I thought I was going to like. I let my husband pick one. So I was like, you can pick the first movie that I watch. And he picked Green Room.
Okay.
All right. You know, we'll watch it. I just didn't know much about it, but it was so good. Yeah. And it was that sort of like old school horror gore, you know, a lot of jump scares, a lot of blood and things like that. But then you put on top of it these like phenomenal actors.
Yeah.
And that's what really sells it for me is these out of control like scenarios. But then the acting is just impeccable.
I have an interesting anecdote about that. I like your number five, Green Room. I just saw that for the first time last night.
You did?
I had never seen it. And I know you guys had reviewed it early on. And I, you know, like I said, I've been listening to episodes and I don't want to listen if I haven't seen it. There's this, I have friends called the Epic Film Guys, which you should check them out too. They have a really good podcast. But they do this thing called the 31-Day Horror Challenge where you're supposed to watch a horror movie that you've never seen. And so I was like, we're getting down to the nitty gritty here. I've never seen Green Room. I'm doing movies from 2010. Let's watch it. So I watched it last night. So it's fresh in my mind. I loved it. You know, high expectations going in because I saw the Rotten Tomatoes score. And, you know, I know you guys love it and so on. But it was good, man. Anton Yelchin, he's the man. I love him.
I know.
Rest in peace.
And Patrick Stewart as a Nazi was hard to watch.
It was.
But he was awesome, of course.
It was. It was an interesting choice. But it was a good movie. You know, it was very very tense, you know, and it was like a real life kind of setting, which I like for horror movies, which you'll probably see on my list. But that's a good pick. Too. So Kat's number five is Green Room. If you guys have not seen that, because I feel like it's underseen because...
I agree. I had never even heard of it.
Yeah, because I'm a horror junkie, and I had only heard of it recently. So if I didn't hear about it, it's definitely underseen. Okay, so let me give you ladies my number five. We'll see what you think of my list. Hopefully, you're cool with it. My number five is from 2016, a movie I did see in the theater, and I don't really get scared in movies so much, but this one had me tense. Like this one's one where you're grabbing your armrest and you're really kind of sympathizing with the main characters. But my number five is from 2016 is called Don't Breathe.
Yo, I got our ticket out of here. Rumor is this guy is sitting on at least 300K. Boom!
That's our guy.
Wait, is he blind?
We messed up to rob a blind guy, isn't it?
Just because he's blind don't mean he's insane, bro.
Whoa!
Yes. Are you guys into that one? You seen that one?
I haven't seen it.
I don't. So the, wow, which is good because that means we could maybe do an episode of it. We'll have to call it whichever one wants to watch. You got to
check it out. The premise, I won't give anything away since you haven't seen it, and a lot of people I know online shouted it out and have seen it, but the premise is there's a war veteran who's blind, who is a recluse and lives in his home in kind of like rundown Detroit, so there's like really nothing around him. It's kind of like an area for homeless people and drug users and whatever, but he still lives there. And he's blind. It's just him and his dog. And this trio of kind of misfits, younger kids, go around robbing people, and that's kind of what they do. So they think they have an easy target here in this blind guy, and they find out he's got all this cash kind of stashed in his home from a settlement. So they go in to rob his house, and let's just say he's not the innocent blind guy they thought he was. And it turns into kind of a home. It turns into kind of a home invasion film, but kind of flipped the other way around because they're inside his house and they can't get out. And, you know, he kind of takes over the movie as the main antagonist. But it's very tense. And there's a lot of, you know, like, because the Don't Breathe is like, you know, they're trying to avoid him hearing them because, you know, his sense of hearing is what he relies on. So it's a great movie. Okay. you got to do it for your show. I'll be the first to listen. Definitely do it.
That sounds awesome.
It's a great movie. So Don't Breathe is my number five, and we'll swing back around to Kim. What's your number four, hon?
My number four is Insidious.
Naturally. James Wan, yes. Talk about Insidious a little bit. Why do you love it?
So what I realized also when looking at things, I was like, well, I love James Wan because every single one of his,
yeah.
I was like, I love any, it's just those kind of like possession-y things. They really get me.
Yeah, I could
see also, that. I hate you. I blame you because last night I was like alone at night,
right.
Like looking at some trailers and stuff because I was like, let me like remember what this is. And then I like could not sleep at all. Right.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's all your fault.
Insidious
is definitely one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just anything that has like possession gets me.
I get that.
Can't do it.
I get that. I'm kind of with you on that. Again, they're a little more realistic. You know what I mean? When there's like spiritual kind of stuff that you, it's kind of the unknown, right?
Yeah. And then this one is like very modern day too. Like mm-hmm. It's just, you know, happening right now.
Well, Insidious is on my honorable mentions. Kat, you like that pick? I love James Wan. He's a horror master. He's the man. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I have issues with possession stuff as well.
Mm-hmm.
So anything that's like got kind of an occult possession type of feel,
mm-hmm.
Those are at the top of my list. But my number four is actually Kevin Smith's Red State.
Okay.
That is another sort of movie where it's kind of a realistic sort of setting. And it's another one that's terrifying because it has become more realistic in today's current climate.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys are familiar with it, but it's a Kevin Smith horror movie where these guys are basically kidnapped by a church similar to like the Westboro Baptist Church.
Mm-hmm.
And it is how the sort of evangelical religious sects can turn violent like that. So it is truly terrifying. Amazing cast. John Goodman is in it.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite actors.
Love him. Yeah, I was going to mention John Goodman. I saw this when it came out. It was like... I feel like it went like straight video on demand or something like that, or shortly after it was released, and I saw it at home. It was so weird to me. I think maybe because it was Kevin Smith, though, you know?
Yeah. And he went on a horror, like he was like, I'm just going to make a bunch of horror films, because he made another one called Tusk right around the same time.
Yeah. But it was good. It was definitely horrific because, like you said, it's kind of a cult kind of... Yeah, it was definitely kind of uneasy is the best way to put that movie. I remember I felt uneasy with that film. But yeah, okay. Red State, number four there. What are we up to? Are we up to my number four now, right?
Four.
Yeah,
I need you guys' help. I get lost. All right, so my number four is, I won't say the most recent because I feel like it came out a few months before another one that I'm going to mention later. But my number four is from this year, from 2018. I've mentioned it on my show before. It was actually on my top five creature features list that we did a few weeks ago. I don't know if you guys heard that one. But my number four is A Quiet Place. Yeah.
Yes.
Starring and directed by John Krasinski. You got Emily Blunt in there. Just a phenomenal, basically a silent film, right? You guys have seen this?
So, we have it. We've been trying to watch it together for so long.
Okay.
Well, because for a while we were kind of fighting over it. We were like, all right, who gets to be the one that watches it and tells the other one? And both of us were like, no, we both want to see it. So we're actually both going to see it.
You know, you could do where you both see it and then you have a guest on and you have them be the one that tries to escape. I don't know.
Plays the game.
That's one of the suggestions that we've gotten a lot is like, and it will be a way for Kim and I to see movies that we want to see together.
Right.
Our favorite thing to do.
Right.
But we'll try to make somebody else stay alive.
Literally tried to watch it on a plane. We were sitting next to each other and then like Kat's like video wasn't working.
Oh man.
We were like trying to watch. We've tried to watch it so hard.
Well, we saw it in the theater. I want to say it came out like this past March and we saw it in the theater and then I got it on Blu-ray and my daughter and I watched it in the backyard at nighttime in the dark outside.
How old's your daughter?
She's 17.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, when you see it, you'll kind of...
You're like, she's five.
Yeah.
You're like,
she was just born a month after it came out. No, but I mean, it's a tense, palpable film. There's a lot of suspense in there, and it's basically a silent film. I mean, I won't give anything away because you guys haven't seen it yet, but I mean, you know the premise. It's a silent movie.
Yeah.
They're in this abandoned, well, world, really, but they're in this abandoned city, and there's these creatures that are alien in nature that are kind of roaming around the town, and they respond to sound. So if they hear you, they attack you. So John Krasinski and his family have come up with this whole system to remain quiet. They use sign language. They walk on patches of sand to avoid footsteps. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Alamo Drafthouse, but I saw it there, and you can eat food, you know, when you're watching the movie. And I'm like, this was the worst movie to get queso and chips in. You're like, you know, and I feel like the creatures are going to attack me in any second. So, but another one that you definitely should put on your to-do list there, ladies. So A Quiet Place is my number four. And that swings us around to our number threes. And Kim, you're up first.
Number three, The Babadook. Have you seen that?
I have. It's a good one. Yeah.
I love The Babadook. The Babadook was the first one in a long time where I feel like I was like really scared. And it was something like people just kept telling me about it. I was like, oh, I really need to see this. And then again, just didn't sleep for, I don't know why I do anything with horror movies. I just can't sleep ever.
You're in the wrong line of podcasting, I guess.
I know.
Kat, you seen the Babadook as well?
I have. That was actually on my honorable mentions list. Yeah. And one of the reasons that I mean, you'll see why it got beat out. It was like very, very close. But when I read about how the Babadook is this metaphor for grief, that made me love the movie even more.
Mm-hmm.
Like, got it.
Super scary, like, jump scares, terrifying imagery, all that stuff that we love. But then to know that there was this like added layer on top of it, I was like, damn, that's good.
Yeah. It was a good flick. It was Australian flick. I you know, this movie was one of the ones where I regretted reading all the hype beforehand, because I got hit with like, this is the greatest shit ever, and I couldn't sleep for 10 days, and just like, you're just like, holy shit, you know. And then I saw it, and I mean, it was a good movie, and I enjoyed it, and I liked the pick. It's actually on my list of like 15 or 20 here too, so it's on my honorables. But I don't know, I guess the hype really got to me, and I wish I had seen the movie before hearing the hype. Which I'm sure you guys run into that too at some point. So,
like, you really got to see it before people start talking about it.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, let's see. Did you give us your number three?
Number three. My number three is Let Me In, is a remake of the Swedish one. Swedish Let the Right One In.
Yep.
So this is about, I don't want to give it away because I want to do it for an episode, but this is about a little girl vampire and her human boy companion friend. And one of the funniest quotes that I heard about Let Me In was, when a girl meets a boy vampire, you get Twilight. When a boy meets a girl vampire, you get Let Me In.
Owen, do you like me? Yeah. A lot. Would you still like me? Even if I wasn't a girl? What do you mean? But no. I guess. Why?
So good. It's also Chloe Grace Moretz, when she was much younger, who's turned into this like powerhouse actor. I'm so excited about her. She's so great. But again, with me, it's always like, you can have lots of scares, you can be really creepy, blah blah blah, but if you don't have a great script and good acting, like, I'm out. So
yeah, that's an awesome movie, and Chloe's awesome. She's a hit girl from Kick-Ass. She was a hit girl.
Yeah.
And I love her too. I follow her on Instagram. She's a great actress. The Let the Right One In, I want to say, was like 2008. So that wouldn't fit in our list. But if you haven't seen the original, it is amazing. I mean, it is a really good movie. Nope.
Yeah, I saw both.
They're, okay, yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah, and Let Me In was, I mean, as far as remakes go, I don't think they could have done any better. Because, you know, America tends to fuck up remakes a little bit.
Totally.
But they did pretty good with that one. It was very great. Great atmosphere, cinematography. Chloe Moretz and Richard Jenkins is in there, too, is the older gentleman. He's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a great movie. Great pick. Love it.
Yep.
All right. So my number three is, you know, I don't know if you guys have heard on previous episodes, but I refer to this thing that I feel like I'm going to take credit for this term, even though I don't know if it's been said before, but I always say minimalistic horror. And I don't know if that term's ever existed, but I use it a lot. And
I know what you mean.
Yeah. And I'm a big fan of that. I'm a big fan of kind of like, this is going to sound stupid, but nothing really happening. Just kind of like, you know what I mean? You just kind of feel like something's off and you're like, this doesn't feel right. And you feel uncomfortable and it's hard to watch. And, you know, you have to kind of put your eyes through your fingers when you watch it. But you're, but you know, nothing really happens until the climax, with the exception of a few jump scares and that kind of thing. So really my top three kind of fit that mold. And the first one is at number three. It's from 2014. It's a movie called It Follows.
Yeah. That's exactly how I felt about that movie, and in a way that I was like, I'm bored. I want something to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, again, we were talking about atmosphere with Let Me In, a Cat's pick, and it's very similar. I mean, It Follows just has a very brooding, dreadful atmosphere, and there is some weird, scary shit that happens throughout the movie. It's a great climax. It's a premise of really don't have sex before, you know, don't, you know, young girls shouldn't be having sex, you know, and it's like that old kind of horror trope, and they take that and they make a whole movie about it. And they did it really cleverly, I thought. And, you know, it's one of my favorite horror movies ever. I just thought it was so unique and so interesting. And it just really sucked me in. And I just love the atmosphere that the filmmakers and the producers created there with It Follows. So that's my number three. Have both of you guys seen this?
Yeah. Is that the one that we saw, Kat? Like, I feel like we, the whole time I was like, what year is this?
That's exactly the one. I was just about to ask you, Gerald, what, okay, please solve.
What year is it? Taking
what
place.
Time period does it take place in?
You know what? I don't think they say. I got to be honest. If they do, I don't recollect. It came out in 2014, but it definitely feels. Y'all saying it feels kind of like an 80s kind of.
Well, no, like it felt like present day, but the decor felt like 70s or something. Like I remember they had like a living room that was just like, what is this? And then she had that weird little compact thing that she was always holding.
Yep.
And we were like, what is that? Like, and it seemed also kind of like maybe like a 70s thing or something.
Yeah, that's a good point actually. And that might be one of the reasons why I love it, because it was just so kind of, I don't know, it felt like a period piece, but it wasn't.
It kept taking me out because I was like, when are we?
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't think they ever say. I could go back.
They don't.
And, yeah, but I think it's supposed to be present day, but it does kind of feel like an 80s vibe in the way they dress and, you know, that kind of thing.
Yes.
Other people are terrified, and Kim and I are watching it going, that outfit is just
nicely done. Nicely
done. But the car is like, you know, or something like that. It was like such a mixed match. We were like, what's happening?
I just love it. I feel like it's well received in the horror community, but it's a very minimalistic movie. I mean, it's like, you know, with the exception of maybe three or four kind of like creepy scares, it's pretty much like building and building and building into the climax. So that's my number three, It Follows, which wraps us around to our runners up. You ladies are doing good. I like your list so far. Kim, what is your number two?
My number two is a very recent one. It is Hereditary.
Ding, ding, ding. That is also my number two. We have our first crossover. Go ahead. You go ahead and talk about it.
She isn't gone. She had private rituals, private friends.
Who's gonna take care of me?
You don't think I'm gonna take care of you?
But when you die.
She wasn't altogether there. At the end.
Dad, I don't like this.
What's happening?
Tina!
Don't you ever raise your voice at me! I am your mother!
Please,
Mom, what's happening?
Make it stop!
I just don't want to put any more stress on my family.
I just loved it for so many reasons. I love Toni Collette, so that's a big part of it. But to this day. Here's what I realized when I was putting together my list. I was like, oh, I just picked the ones that like scare me the most. That's all I did. But like to this day, this shot of her being in the corner on the ceiling, I just can't handle it.
Oh, yeah.
They did such a good job of sitting on that like one shot for so long. And something about the way they use like the lighting and the shadows of it, because it was like you like saw it at first and you're like, wait, is it? And it's like somehow like the shadow like changed until you could like actually see what it was. Like, I just thought it was so good, and the acting was good, and I was so scared.
I love it. Kat, what about you? You go with that pick, or are you going to have more crossover?
Well, I don't want to give it away, but my number two pick is also a movie that came out really recently. And mine was Get Out.
That's good.
Love.
That one was one of the most well-made movies I've seen. I didn't even care that it was technically a horror, because it was just such a well-made movie. And Bradley Whitford, oh my God, Bradley Whitford for life. I love him so much. And again, great acting. It was also one of those scenarios where I'm like, this is a horror movie, but also it feels like it's far away from happening.
Yeah.
It was just so terrifying in that way, the sort of realism but absurdity that it was based in.
Right.
I just thought it was awesome.
I love Get Out. It's a great movie, and I love that the horror community got kind of a lot of notoriety when it came out. We were talking about this on our Facebook page last night, me and a couple of fans, because I've just always had this weird block in my mind where I can't consider it a horror movie. I don't know
really?
Like why I can't get past it. It's me personally. It's not anybody else. I just think of it as like a psychological thriller with kind of a horrific ending. I don't know.
It's kind of
weird the way I categorize the movie, but I could absolutely see why it is called a horror movie and why people, you know, call it that. I just, for some reason, it's just, I don't know. It's kind of like, you know, you remember Seven and Silence of the Lambs. Like,
yes.
To me, those are more thrillers than horror. But again, I'm just being a horror snob, to be honest. But I mean, it's a great movie, though. It's an absolutely awesome movie. So Get Out is Kat's number two. As I already said, my number two was Hereditary. You know, I mean, you nailed it, Kim. I won't go too much further down that rabbit hole. But I mean, it was just a very tense movie. It was very scary at times, and it again felt real. I mean, it was a family drama at its core, and there was a lot of weird shit going on in that family, you know. And it scared you, you know. I mean, everybody's family's a little scary, but I think we probably counted our blessings when we left the theater after seeing that one. But yes, Hereditary, in my opinion, and I haven't made this list yet. A buddy of mine and myself are going to make it in December. But as of right now, it's the best movie of this year so far, in my opinion.
Yes.
In any genre, Hereditary. So that's also my number two. So we are up to our number ones, guys. You ladies feeling good? You got your number ones there to unleash to the world here. Kim, what is your number one modern horror?
So my number one is the last one that I can remember being in the theaters and like putting my legs up like on the chair, like being so scared the whole time. And it is The Conjuring.
It's a good one. It's a good one.
Are you okay?
Hold her still. Don't let her up. You're losing her, Roger.
Damn you. You leave my family alone. You hear me? I don't know what you are, but you leave my wife alone. God damn it. Let her go. You hear me?
Dad.
Let her go.
Obis peratum est ignis.
Let her go. God damn it. Let her go.
She's already gone. And now you're all gonna die.
I'm gonna let you guys talk about it. It was really, really, really hard not to put this one on my list. Like, I was almost in tears, like writing my list, like it, because it's my number six. Just so you know, it's like my first honorable mention. But and The Conjuring 2 as well. I mean, they're both just fucking scary and great movies. James Wan, we already talked about. Go ahead, Kim. Why'd you pick this one?
I mean, again, possession.
Yeah,
and the fact that it's like real people, like these people, like actually existed. You know, because you know how a lot of like horror movies are like based on a true story, but like the two main characters like actually existed.
Yeah,
like so. I think that's really cool. But yeah, I mean, it's just like just terrifying and jumps like the whole time.
Yeah,
I love.
The Warrens, they're the ones that were paranormal experts that actually investigated the Amityville Horror House, which is the movie that's based on. And they've done a lot of weird shit in their life that I can't believe.
That's crazy, right?
I can see why there's movies being made about them. But they're going to be the Warrens, meaning the two actors, Verma Farmiga and Patrick Wilson, are going to be in the upcoming Annabelle sequel, which they were not in the last couple. So that's exciting.
Yeah.
But yeah, you like that pick as well, Kat?
I do. That was on my honorable mentions list. I knew that was going to be on Kim's.
Same here.
So my number one is Hereditary. I was between Get Out and Hereditary for my number one, because for me, it was like, what movies had images or ideas that stuck with me and are still stuck inside of me somewhere? Get Out for sure was one. But then again, a lot of what you guys talked about, the shots and the imagery in Hereditary, I can still see them. Like, I just saw the movie last night. You know, for listeners that haven't seen it, I won't go into like too many specifics, but the combination of like jump scares and also like slow burn horrific nightmare shit, I was just like, this is driving me out of my mind.
When he's driving the car home and you're like, what happened that I think happened, like,
right
yeah.
And so it put that, and it put so long. It puts you in the, you know, car with him, you know, which is I love when horror movies are able to put you in the scene and just kind of like take away all the fluff and just make you think about what you're experiencing. And that movie did that a lot, especially in that scene that you're talking about.
Yeah.
All right. Awesome. Well, I agree with it. I know Kim does. It was our number twos, but great movie. Like I said, best one of these years so far, in my opinion. So my number one is, we talked about minimalistic horror. This is the epitome of that, at least since 2010. But this movie was just so awesome. I watched it the first time on my iPad in a dark hotel room. I was on a business trip and I had the headphones on. You were talking about last night watching, you know, clips at night. So I did this with this movie, and it really, it's not even really scary until like the last, I don't know, 15 or 20 minutes. But the atmosphere is just so, like, you're like, oh my God, these people, you know, and you just feel, I don't know, you just feel dread and tense. Yeah. But it's from 2015. It's a film called The Witch.
Does thou understand my English tongue? Answer me. Canst thou give?
Wouldst thou like the taste of butter? A pretty dress? Wouldst thou like to live deliciously?
Yes.
Wouldst thou like to see the world?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you guys seen that?
I have. That's your number one?
That's my number one. Love it. You can talk shit. You can talk shit if you want to, though.
But I hate it for the same reason.
Oh, really? Yeah.
That one, even actually more than It Follows, I remember being like, when's something going to happen?
Yeah.
When is something going to happen?
I think part of my...
And then nothing ever
happens. I think part of my love for it is I just have a huge like affinity for like the Salem Witch Trials and just that whole historical piece.
Yeah.
And to me, it was like a history. It was a family story, right? So it was like a family drama. Yeah. And you had this family in colonial New England. But also it was like a historical reenactment kind of with horrific things happening in the background. So it was almost like a family movie with horror elements. And I just love the look of it and the atmosphere. I thought the young lady that was the lead was just tremendous. The twist at the end I thought was awesome. And that was when it really kind of got, quote, horrific at the end there. Mm-hmm. And then it ends up being, I mean, it's called The Witch, so you can kind of guess, but it ends up being kind of a Salem witch type deal. And supernatural in a way, but I can see why people wouldn't be for them, but it's one of my favorite movies of the last 10 years. And it affected me so much when I saw it, probably because of the setting I was in when I watched it the first time.
Yeah.
Let's be honest, but, I've seen it a couple times since, and I own it. I just think it's a great movie. So that's my number one is The Witch, which Kim does not agree with. Kat, what about you? Did you like The Witch?
I think I liked it more than Kim did, because for the same reason, I liked being in that world. Mm-hmm. I love sort of like old timey horror.
Yeah, you do.
So I'm totally there for that. I think I wanted a few more things to happen as well. But as I just said, Black Phillip, I still have nightmares about
good shit,
him
man.
My dreams.
Yeah.
A pretty regular basis, and I'm not super into it. So it did affect me clearly in some way.
Yeah. I mean, those are the kind of movies that, I mean, I like all horror. And if you guys listen to my show, you know that. I like slashers. I like gore. You know, yeah. I like everything, you know, but what really gets me is when it puts me in the moment and I'm not kind of distracted by that stuff. And I'm more so just like, what are these characters going through? What are they going to do? What's the outcome going to be? And if that makes any sense. And I feel like, you know, movies like The Witch and It Follows and A Quiet Place, it really put me in those scenarios.
Yeah.
So we had crossover with Hereditary. You guys hate my number one, which is fine. It's all good.
That's correct, yes.
I loved all yours. So why don't we do a quick wrap up now that I've given my number one, which maybe I shouldn't have now that I, in retrospect. Kim, what was your five again? Give us your countdown there.
Okay, number five is The Purge, Insidious, The Babadook, Hereditary, and The Conjuring.
All right, very nice list. And Kat, how about yours?
Mine was Green Room, Red State, Let Me In, Get Out, and Hereditary.
Awesome. And my top five were, number five was Don't Breathe. Number four was A Quiet Place. You guys got to see that. Number three was It Follows. Number two was Hereditary. And number one was The Witch, which Kim is on board with. All right. So what we're going to do now, let's give a few honorable mentions. I'll tell you what, I had about 15 to 20, and it was so hard to narrow this down. It really was. But just give a few that maybe didn't get mentioned today. Kim, you want to go first? What are a few honorables that you want to shout out there?
One, and this goes along with James Wan and everything I love, is Annabelle.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because anything with a creepy doll and creepy kids.
Naturally. Yep.
Creepy. Another is It, the remake of It.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Which is like probably my favorite like OG horror movie of all. And I thought they did a good job of remaking it. And then this is another one that goes along with what you were saying about like kind of like Get Out and things like that, where it's like kind of just like a psychological thriller, but like fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's The Killing of a Sacred Deer.
Yeah, yes. I haven't seen that one. Some people shouted that out online. That's one of the ones I have not seen that I'm going to watch before Halloween. So I'm looking forward to that now that you mentioned it.
Yeah, we did it on our show and it's fucked up.
Yes.
Kim just described it to me and I'm still thinking about it. Like we have a pretty like long discussion.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen it, I won't say anything, but you'll know what long discussion we had once you've seen it.
Okay.
About
okay. And what, now, Kat, you want to give us a few of your honorables?
You guys said a lot of mine, because one of mine was The Babadook and one was The Killing of a Sacred Deer, which I haven't even seen. Kim just told me about it.
Nice. Nice. Just on word of mouth, you're like, you know what? This is fucking amazing. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just a brilliant storyteller.
Yeah, I guess. That's awesome. I'll give you a few of mine that didn't get mentioned. Let's see here. You guys mentioned a few of mine. We talked about James Wan. Both Conjuring films are on mine, one and two. I mean, that motherfucking nun in part two is fucking horrifying. And then the first one, for all the reasons that you guys said already. Let's see. I got the new Halloween. I'm a giant Michael Myers fan. You guys see I have my t-shirt on today from the original. And I thought it was, have you guys seen it yet? The new one?
No.
I thought it was.
We're having the same issue of can we both see it or not?
I got you.
But
it was just a pure 100% slasher film. It went back to the original, went back to the OG. It just followed that simple formula. You don't know why this guy's wearing a mask and why he's so pissed off. He just is. And it is a brutal, you know, body count. And he was very visceral in this movie. It was like the 78 film, but just much more killing. So
yeah, looks so good. Jamie Lee Curtis looks like a badass.
Oh, such a queen.
She's the best. She's the best.
Yeah. So we are, the only reason we haven't seen it is because Kim and I are also fighting over who gets.
Right. And the only other ones that didn't get mentioned, there's a movie that's on Netflix right now that I'm doing this 31 day horror challenge, which is why I watched it about 2 or 3 weeks ago. But it's a zombie movie, a zombie apocalypse film called Train to Busan.
Yes, and that's on my list.
And it is really good. I was very surprised by it. It's a Korean film, so there's subtitles, and I was kind of like, oh, great, you know. And I mean, it's just awesome. I mean, it's very similar to World War Z in terms of like how the zombies act, but there's a human story to it. There's a father-daughter story to it that makes it a very touching movie, which you don't expect when you're watching a zombie movie. So, I thought it was really good. I also put Tucker and Dale versus Evil, which is a horror comedy from 2010. Cabin in the Woods from 2012.
Yeah, that was on my honorable mention.
Joss Whedon. And then you already said Green Room. So Green Room I put on here as well. That's my honorable mentions. All right, ladies. So what I like to do at this point, we call it the suggestion box, right? So we're going to go over to social media and we're going to see what some peeps said. Now, we just kind of planned this recording last night, like 12 hours ago. So I threw up a call to action. I said, hey, let's get some suggestions here. So let's see what you guys think about some of these. So over on Twitter, So I Married a Movie Geek. Love those guys. They actually have some of ours. They have It. It Follows. Hey, there you go. Get Out. You're Next. We didn't mention You're Next. Have you guys seen that one?
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a home invasion film as well. That's a good film.
Right.
And then
I was looking at You're Next and I thought it was, I get that and The Strangers confused.
Oh, Strangers is amazing. Strangers would have been on my list, but that's 2008.
Same.
Yeah. Hereditary, he also said, which of course we agree with. Netflix and Swill over there said The Babysitter, which is a Netflix original, which actually is a lot of fun. That's also a horror comedy. Have you seen that one?
No. But that we have like a spreadsheet of ones that we want to see and ones that the other one has seen, and we try to like make sure that, you know, we don't have repeats, and The Babysitter is on that list.
Yeah, you should check it out. It's a lot of fun. It's, you know, this really hot babysitter, you know, like 18 years old or whatever, and she joins a cult and she basically has to sacrifice the kid she's babysitting, and that's the premise.
Fun.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just babysitting.
Yeah, this is like normal, yeah. Let's see. Your Word Whiz over on Twitter says, in no particular order, Mandy, which I also wanted to mention. Mandy's awesome with Nicolas Cage.
Yeah.
It Follows, A Quiet Place, Get Out, The Babadook, Raw. Raw's a good one. Have you seen Raw?
Tell me about Raw.
Raw is fucked up, man. It's actually, this one would also fall in the, is it a psychological thriller or is it a horror? But there's a young girl that goes to veterinary school and she's a vegetarian, and she gets tricked into eating raw meat as part of like an initiation into this like club or whatever. And then throughout the film, because of that, she starts gaining a craving for raw flesh, and she eventually becomes a cannibal throughout the course of the movie.
Do they hurt animal? Do any animals get hurt?
Well, not real ones, but yes, there's some animal.
Great. Then Kim, you can watch it.
Catherine hates animal horror.
Yeah,
I think it's on your list already, dude.
Raw? No, I don't think so. Eric must have put it there. My husband.
It's a fucked up movie, but it is good, but it's fucked up. And then
I'm going to put it on mine.
Last couple over on Twitter. Let's see. TMurph207 over on Twitter said, It Follows, A Quiet Place, Train to Busan, The Autopsy of Jane Doe. I haven't seen that one.
Oh, I've
never heard of that.
I haven't seen that one. I have to check The Autopsy of Jane Doe out. I haven't seen that one.
I call it.
Sounds interesting. I call it. And then Gidget Von LaRue, good friend of the show. She's over in Australia. So, of course, she said The Babadook. She said, I have to go with The Babadook, Let Me In, which you mentioned. The Witch. Hey, I got somebody for The Witch. Troll Hunter and Train to Busan. So good shout outs over there on Twitter. And then on our Facebook fan page, guys, if you have not joined up yet, make sure you join up to our Facebook fan page. The info is in the show notes. That's where we interact with our fans the most. Tony Dobbish said Hereditary and Get Out. And then I think you ladies are in the fan community. I don't know if you saw, but we got into a little back and forth about Get Out.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Is it horror? Are we doing that? Or is it, you know? And he said, he said it's tricky, and it's definitely one that gets debated. It is 90% suspense in my book with horror at the end. Yeah. So, I mean, like I said, if you categorize it as horror, I definitely see why. Hannah, or you know what? I knew my girl would come through for me. So Hannah from Boozy Movies said The Witch. How do you like that? She said The Witch. So, of course, I got to shout that out. She also said It Follows, Raw, and The Conjuring. Let's see. Bob over on the Facebook fan page said Split. No one said Split.
Right.
Yes, that one looks so good. That was, see, we've had to save up all of these movies that we want to see so that we can like do episodes about them. So that is one of the ones that I heard was so good. I really want to see it. That's probably going to freak me out though, because the mental health aspect.
Yes, and they're doing a sequel called Glass, which will be out next year. So if you see it and then you want to, you know, do a back-to-back double feature there, that might be pretty cool.
Are you our manager now?
Yeah, I'm just going to send you. I'm going to send you your schedule for the season.
Yeah.
Bob also said The Conjuring and Get Out. So there's another shout out for Get Out. Jennifer Bowman over on the fan page said Cabin in the Woods. Teeth. Have you seen Teeth?
No.
I have. That's the one with the chick has teeth for a vagina. So that's.
Oh, right.
That old chestnut.
Right.
That's vaginas, isn't it? So, is that not
a normal? That's horror. I feel like that's a reality. And she also put Oculus Mama, which was really creepy.
Oculus was good. That's a James Flanagan.
Mike Flanagan. We went to college with Mike Flanagan's brother, who is James Flanagan.
Oh, okay. So yeah,
she just said that
it's his brother.
That's James Flanagan movie.
And then the last one. Go ahead. I'm so sorry. What'd you say?
He was our acting one TA. Was James Flanagan, who's Mike Flanagan's little brother.
That's awesome. He's doing good things, man. I love the Haunting of Hill House over there too. I just watched that whole series. It was good.
Oh, it's so good.
It was good. And then the last one I'll mention over on our Facebook fan page is from our super fan Michael Hill, and I thought it was cute. So he said, just for fun, I'm going to say Twilight Breaking Dawn. And he says, but hear him out, which I had to read the rest of it because I was like, dude, what? But he goes, it's horror because it did so well and millions of women idolize an abusive and manipulative man as the perfect spouse. There you go. So he took it to a dark place. But hey, Twilight is definitely horrific in its own right. That's for sure.
It's an anecdote about Twilight. I'm a substitute teacher as my day job right now. And one of the lesson plans that I had a couple weeks ago was in a health and life skills class. And they were learning about signs of abusive relationships. And so I had to play Twilight.
Natural.
And they had to identify signs of abuse in the movie Twilight.
Were they able to? They did good?
They did okay. The ones that I woke up from their nap did okay.
All that glitter, you know? All right. Okay. So I love these guys. So Kim and Ket. So they have a podcast, Kim and Ket Stay Alive, .. Maybe. They told you the premise at the beginning of the show, but one of them watches a movie, poses it to the other one, and then the other one has to survive in a way that the characters in the film did not. You guys usually do pretty good there. So if I'm in a horror movie, I want you guys alongside. Tell everyone where they can find you, though. Tell them, direct them wherever you'd like to, online, social media, whatever.
So we are all over the place at KK Sam Podcast. So that's Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, KK Sam Podcast. So that's Kim and Ket Stay Alive, Maybe acronym podcast.
Awesome.
And follow us.
I will keep pumping you up. I will keep sharing your episodes. I think you guys are awesome. And we follow each other on Twitter. So I'm sure we will be in touch. And hopefully you guys will come back on. We'll do another fun top five.
That'd be fun.
I'll schedule it a little later this time. We want to
please. What were you saying, Kim? You were congratulating me on something.
I feel like I need to take that new baby. Upcoming baby.
Yes.
Yes. Upcoming baby. Clearly, I have kids. How do you say that? It's so early.
Upcoming human. Yeah, I'm gonna deliver you. We're having a kid in March. I'm excited about that. And the first thing I'm gonna do is show it a quiet place in my yard. So it'll be cool. I do that with all my children. But no, you guys are a lot of fun. I really appreciate it. This will be up in a couple days, guys. I hope you enjoy it. This was our top five modern horror films. And we had a nice rounded list, right? I mean, the only thing, what did we cross? We just crossed over on Hereditary, right?
Hereditary, we were all in on. That was kind of it.
That's it. Yeah. So we have a nice playlist there for October. People are going to have to cram them in, though. They only got a few days. You guys are awesome. That's it. Look for their information in the show notes, guys. And you all also can find all of our stuff and follow us all over the place as well. So for another bonus episode, this is Gerald signing off for Kim and Ket. We'll see you next time. Thanks, ladies.
Bye.
We'll be right back.
You've been listening to a Blazing Caribou Studios production. Support and subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/blazingcariboustudios.